Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The United States and Ukraine are continuing to work on a proposed 28-point peace plan following a meeting in Geneva yesterday. Two countries said it resulted in a refined peace framework. It followed a lot of criticism of the initial draft being too favourable to Russia. European countries have themselves published their amended version of the US plan, which keeps much of what Donald Trump had proposed, but changes some of its more controversial provisions. Paul Rogers is Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Hello.
How confident are you that progress is actually being made here?
Some progress is being made. At least things are opened up for discussion. There are obviously major disagreements between the Americans and some of the Europeans, and also there are problems within Ukraine, but at least it is an opening, and it depends very much what can come from that. I think the key thing really is whether Trump basically is the kind of person who says, this is the deal, I want it, and that's what we got, or else is prepared to go along with some degree of negotiations. If the latter, then there's a real sign of progress. If not, then it becomes much more difficult.
Trump was quoted yesterday as saying he thought Ukraine were not grateful enough. And that harks back to that terrible meeting in the Oval Office. It's hard to apply normal diplomacy to this particular phase, isn't it?
I think that's absolutely right. You can't deal with Trump as a sort of a rational diplomatic positioner. Simply because of his whole style. And this is what makes it so difficult for diplomats to actually handle him. Very few people can. The problem with that, of course, is we may get progress, but we may not. It's possible, but it depends very much on how far Ukraine will go. The bottom line to all of this is the state of the war now, 4 years on, and God knows how many people killed, how many widows made, and all the rest. It continues, and it's a violent stalemate, which is an odd combination. Neither side can win convincingly because there are always, well, NATO would prevent Ukraine completely losing. And on the Russian side, if they were losing, then, of course, they would threaten some sort of escalation. So it has to end in negotiations at some stage. And the argument is the sooner the better, even if there is more give on the Ukraine side than on the Russian side. So that's the blunt truth where we are. It's probably pretty similar to where we were a few months into the war, where the West was very reluctant to sort of negotiate with the Russian side because they thought they could get a better deal. But this goes right back almost sort of years back to what would have been the Minsk agreement that was sort of scheduled at one time. We've missed opportunities in the past to bring this to an end. And the problem now is that Ukraine, relatively speaking, is in a weaker position. And that's largely due to Trump. But that's where we are. And the reality is, do you actually get some sort of deal now, even if it's an uncomfortable one and not the one you would want? Or do you just have another 100,000 people killed and then go for some sort of deal? That's the difficult situation that Western European countries are in at the present time.
Is there an inevitability at this point that Ukraine will lose some of its sovereign territory in this? I mean, that has been put as a red line by Zelensky, but I'm not sure how many observers looking in accept that they're going to get the land back that they have lost.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yes, I mean, I think the point is that there will have to be some give on the Ukraine side, and that probably includes land which Ukraine is still holding on to with great difficulty and with great loss of life. It would be limited, but it would go back to what could have been agreed sort of years ago in some ways. And the problem is that obviously all the Western press is saying, you know, this is giving in to the Russians. You look at what the Russians wanted when they started this war, what, 4 years ago. They expected to take over the control of the whole of Ukraine. And they came fairly near it at one stage, but they were repelled. And in fact, the Russians lost a lot of the land that they'd initially taken. What you now have is a situation where what the Russians might get is mostly land which was essentially Russian-speaking territory, which included many citizens of Ukraine who have been quite happy to see some deal with Russia. That tends to be forgotten for natural reasons because of the loss of life. But that's the reality, I'm afraid.
What about the real unknown here? We talk about Trump as being the unknown, but what about Russia? What is the likelihood of them sticking to any deal if one is done?
I think if they stuck to a deal, then there are all sorts of ways in which it could be made clear that they would not be able to come back on this. Just the kind of involvement of NATO that you would have, a whole range of things right across the West. One has to remember that across, as far as NATO is concerned, NATO's come out of this with two additional members, Sweden and Finland. And that, I think, is significant because the Russians, in that sense, if part of this game was to sort of hold NATO back, in fact, the end result is the opposite has happened. And as a result of that, I think the Russians behind the scenes will be ready for some sort of settlement. They've succeeded against the odds so far with a pretty repressive state, which has managed to basically tell the Russian people the story that NATO is trying to constrain Russia and move more into basically Russia's sphere of influence. That in many ways is how the Russians see it. To some extent, it's true. And the reality is that on that basis, Russia would settle for some sort of deal, in my view, and would not come back in the near future, at least. And in many ways, Western countries could ensure that by the way they develop their forces and have much stronger defensive forces. There are all kinds of ways that military can change. The other thing one has to recognize is that this war has been a gloriously good war for the world's arms industries. And many of the big arms companies in Britain and in Russia and in the United States and elsewhere have benefited from it. And so there's quite a big, well, to put it bluntly, is quite a big constituency for people and interests who would like this war to continue. And that's one good reason why it shouldn't continue.
There is a deadline, albeit an artificial one, of Thursday set by Donald Trump. Do you expect that to slide as negotiations continue? I mean, inevitably, there had to be a deadline, but it's unlikely to be met at this point, surely.
The indications from Washington are that that has slipped and that that essentially Americans will not push that.
Okay. Do you feel at this point, Paul, having observed all of this and notwithstanding any of the points you've just made, that we are at the closest point to peace in the 4.5 years of conflict?
No, there were periods earlier on, about 4 or 5 months in, when it would have been possible to do a deal, but that was missed. So the end result is we're not at the closest point, but it's an improvement on where we've been the last few months, that's for sure.
Okay, Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Thanks for talking to us, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.